meat in each one of these verses, and I don't want to brush past any of them. And so we're in James chapter 3. Now that I got you back to your seat, would you stand with me, amen, as we read chapter number 6. If you're physically able, if you've got a baby on your lap, don't worry about that. Or if you've got a bad back, don't worry about that either, amen. James chapter 3, verse number 6. And we'll just reading one verse tonight, and we're going to talk. Our lesson tonight is on God's assessment of the untamed tongue. And that's found in verse number 6. Let's read it together. Amen. James chapter 3, verse number 6. Ready? Begin. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." Father, bless your word to our hearts now. We pray that you would conform us into your image through your Spirit and through your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our last lesson, 2 weeks ago, of course we didn't have service last week because of the weather, but in our last lesson, you have a lesson sheet there, we learned about the biggest little member in the church. And I'm not talking about height, and I'm not talking about weight, amen. The biggest little member of the church, as we studied about, of course, the tongue. Three bullet points there we looked at out of verse 5. We looked at the size of the tongue. It says in verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member." That little tongue, amen. And so we looked at that. Then we looked at the scope of the tongue. Yes, it is a little member, but also in verse 5 it says, "It boasteth great things." So this little tongue boasts great things. And we learned in the lesson before in verses 3, 4, and 5 about how little things can control big things. Bits and bridles control the beasts, and the rudder controls the boats, amen. And the tongue controls the body, amen. And so we looked at the size of the tongue and the scope of the tongue. And then we looked lastly there at the spark of the tongue. The spark of the tongue. It says there, "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And we talked about here in our country on October 8th, 1871, all through the Midwest, there were three great fires. One in Wisconsin that actually jumped over Lake Michigan into the area there in Muskegon. And then also Port Huron area, there was a huge fire, just incredible amounts of damage. And then some of you know the legend in Chicago of old Mrs. O'Leary's cow, amen, that kicked over the lamp and Chicago burned down. You know what it took? One little spark to start every one of those fires. One little spark. And that's why God tells us in James 1:19 to be swift to hear, slow to speak. We mentioned it so many times. I know it's just by way of review. Grandma's advice is still good advice. God gave you two ears and one mouth, so listen twice as much as you talk. Amen. So we look there at verse 5, the biggest little member of the church. And then on your lesson sheet there, blank line there, God, through James, of course, we know God is the author of the Bible. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of that. God wrote the Bible, amen. Did he use men? Absolutely, amen. But God is the author of the Bible. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Amen. So God, through James, continues his discourse on the tongue and gives his personal assessment of the, blank line, untamed or unbridled tongue. That is, the tongue that is not under control. The untamed tongue. Okay? So he gives his personal assessment of the untamed tongue, the unbridled tongue, that is the tongue that is not under control. We have five quick points tonight, and they've got to be quick because I'm looking at the clock there. Number one, the untamed tongue devours. It devours. Look at verse number 6, please, right at the beginning. It says, "And the tongue is a what? Okay? Now again, don't. There will be people that will try to trap you. They'll say, do you believe the Bible's to be interpreted literally? And if you're quick on your feet, of course you... Well, of course! Oh? By the way, the Bible is meant to be interpreted reasonably. So, Pastor, you're preaching heresy. Is the tongue a fire?
Yeah.
No, but it's compared to a fire. Is Jesus a door? No, he's compared to a door. That's reasonable, amen? Reasonable interpretation of the Bible, amen? And so it says here that the tongue is a fire. By the way, you'll find that word fire three times in this one verse. Okay? God gives the reader the comparison, okay, of the untamed tongue to a fire, as both have the capacity to devour. When I was young, I cannot even remember how old. I don't even know if my mom knows this story. She's about to, though. So is everybody else that's on the internet, amen? I remember there was a time we were tenting out at my friend's house. And we thought it was a good idea to make a campfire. Yeah. Never a good idea to let 12-year-olds make campfires. Just really not. You know what happened to that dry grass, Brother Lowell, that was right around there? It got devoured, and so did a whole bunch more until the fire department got there. See, that's what fire does. It devours. Folks, you've been saved long enough to see an untamed tongue devour a church. Devour God's people. What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. By the way, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So the tongue, the untamed tongue, it devours, just like a fire, devours. Something else, the untamed tongue is decadent. D-E-D-A-D-E-N-T. Decadent. I'm sorry, D-E-C-A-D-E-N-T. Decadent. Some of you are hoping maybe on Friday that you'll get some decadent chocolates. Stop looking at me, honey. Decadent is sinful. You don't want sinful chocolates. You want godly chocolates. Amen. Decadent. God, here again, the untamed tongue. What does it say about it here? It says that the tongue is a fire and then, comma, a world of iniquity. The tongue itself, okay, is a world of iniquity. So you have a blank line there, world, which indicates that it is capable of generating the sum total of all the sins of the entire world. The tongue. The tongue. Remember in the garden? It was the forked tongue of the serpent, Satan, that cast doubt upon God's word, was it not? And then it's amazing, first words that we hear from Adam was, the woman thou gavest me. And then the next tongue to speak was the woman who said, the serpent beguiled me. The tongue is decadent. It's able. What an evil body can perform, an evil tongue can make possible. It's decadent, sinful. World of iniquity. Number three. It's not only it devours, it's decadent. The untamed tongue defiles. Look what it says there in verse number 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. This little tiny tongue that we have, it's just tiny, but yet it defiles the whole body. You know, when I think of that, the idea of the whole body, I think of an assembly. Remember when God said to Achan, He said to the Israelites as they went into that first city, Jericho, of 10 that they would conquer, the first of 10, the tenth, the tithe. He said, that's mine. Leave it alone. By the way, He still says that. The tithe belongs to the Lord. It's His. Don't you take it. Amen. Give it to Him willingly. Get the blessing. But He said, this city, this Jericho, it's just, it's all mine. Don't touch it. Don't take it. Don't look at it. Just keep on going. And old Achan, we know what happened. Like a lot of people. He looked. By the way, that was the problem right there. He looked when God said not to. Amen. That's part of the problem. Amen. If you just wouldn't look, amen. Look not upon the wine when it is red, the Bible says. So many things we're not to look at. That's a whole other sermon. But he looked and he coveted after and he took what God said not to. And you know what happened? The whole body of Israel was defiled. Joshua prayed and got the mind of the Lord, and God said, there's sin in the camp. You know what the tongue, the untamed tongue is in our church? It's sin in the camp. Because it can defile the whole body. Everything that we're working so hard, striving against sin and loving one another, can be absolutely destroyed by a defiling tongue, untamed tongue. It defiles. On the lesson sheet there. The tongue is that which defileth the whole body. The word defileth, quotes there, blank line. The word defileth, it should be phrased, you can cross that out, is translated from the Greek word spiloo, and it's found only here in James chapter 3 verse 6, defileth, and Jude chapter 23. Chapter 23, amen. Verse 23. Jude 23, which uses the word spotted. Hating even the garments spotted by the world. Or defiled by the world. Okay? It means to stain or soil. And that's what an untamed tongue can do amongst the body of Christ. It can defile the whole body. Defiles. So many times. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh boy. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be in all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And there's a couple verses up it says, it tells us to let our communication be as becometh Christ. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Boy, when you see somebody, instead of having that untamed tongue say, did you hear about so-and-so? Why don't you say, let me tell you how good God is. That's a tame tongue, a spiritual tongue. So, this untamed tongue, God's assessment of it, what does He say about it? We say, well, it devours. It defiles. It's decadent, number four. Goes right along with the first point, but the Bible emphasizes it here in verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. What is number four? The untamed tongue destroys. It destroys. Consider, on your outline there, consider the destructive power of a wildfire upon nation or upon nature. Isn't it incredible? You see the wildfires, and it seems like they happen in the West. I know it's just so dry, even right now in California, it's just so dry. One lightning strike out there, and boy, just millions of acres burn. Just think about that. Just all those, I think about those, we all see it every few years that people have to leave their homes, these million-dollar homes on the side of a hill, and we see that, and yet they just, this fire comes along and it destroys. That's what an untamed tongue can do. I'll tell you, I have seen men, I have known men that have been destroyed by an untamed tongue. Literally, godly men that were trying to do right, and somebody started spreading malicious gossip about them, and boom, their reputation was ruined. Off one false accusation. I'm glad God keeps perfect records. Amen. And I'll tell you what, wouldn't have to if we would bridle our tongues. Amen. So what does it do? It destroys. Consider the destructive power of a wildfire upon nature. How many have been equally destroyed by the gossip's tongue? The gossip's tongue. Still a sin to gossip, and all God's people said. Amen. I know we're talking about other sins earlier, but I'll tell you what. Gossip, it has to do with an untamed tongue. So what is God's assessment of this untamed tongue? Number one, it devours. Number two, it's decadent. Number three, it defiles. Number four, it destroys. And number five, reading all of verse 6, it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." The untamed tongue is devilish. Devilish. Oh, how Satan uses the tongue to accomplish his evil work. I've mentioned before, and sometimes this is a curse of pastoring. You have things that have happened in your life, and you tell it to somebody like you're telling it for the first time, and people look at you and say, "Yeah, Pastor, you've told us that before." Amen. Evangelists never have to worry about that. Amen. They just go from place to place. But I took one, when I was at Midwestern Baptist College from 1997 to 2001, Tom Malone was our pastor. Great man of God. I love Brother Malone and miss him so much. Brother Randall Easterling asked me, I was at the hospital the other day. He said, "Go ahead, do a Dr. Malone imitation." He said, "You do it so good." Amen. And Dr. Malone would say, "I'd rather have cancer in my body than unforgiveness in my heart." Amen. And I had one class with Dr. Malone. It wasn't homiletics, which is where you learn to preach. It wasn't hermeneutics, where you learn to interpret the Bible. It wasn't the life of Christ or any Bible class. It was a class I had to take during my senior year. Shakespeare. I mean, I got one of the greatest pulpiteers right here at my disposal, and I got to take guys wearing skirts. We studied the play of Othello. If you have never read Othello, I would encourage you to. Dr. Malone said it was okay, so if it's not, we can all blame Dr. Malone when we get to heaven. Amen. There is a character in Othello, and his name is Iago. I-A-G-O. Iago. He is the perfect type of Satan, and the perfect example of the verse that we just studied. All through the entire play, he sows discord and tells lies. Until at the end of the play, he convinces Othello, the hero, the man's man, the military man, to strangle his wife because she has been unfaithful to him. But she was not ever unfaithful to him. What caused that? Tongue. Untamed tongue. It's devilish. It's devilish. It destroys. It defiles. It's decadent. And it devours. And you know what we need to do? We need to tame it. We need to tame the tongue. How can we do that, Pastor? Through the Holy Spirit of God. You know an easy way? I'm going to give an account for this, Lord. Is what I'm saying or about to say or want to say going to please you? Is it going to edify my fellow brother? Is it going to help the lost man to come closer to Christ? Oh yes, we mentioned before, we do have to be like John the Baptist. We do have to say, it's not right. It's wrong. Can't do that. Amen. But we can do it in love, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to be the Westboro Baptist Church and all God's people said, picketing funerals and foolishness and telling people how much God hates them. Last time I checked, God so loved the world. Amen. Amen. May God help us. Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessings, your goodness to us. We pray that you'd bless now our invitation time, Lord. I pray that you help each one of us to, Lord, examine ourselves and, Lord, our speech, our tongue, Lord, do we use it to praise and to pray, or do we use it to edify, or do we use it to tear down, to hurt another? Lord, help us to guard our tongues. Lord, to govern our tongues by the Spirit of God.